On our last broadcast, I began the message entitled, When the Holy Ghost Comes. And we learned that when the Holy Ghost comes, he can change anybody. And there's one more thing that we can learn today. So open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we'll take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages out of the book of Acts. So get close to your radio now as we take a look in the book.
Awesome. So my question is today, do we have apostles today? Not anybody that's going to fit that definition. I know I done met a lot of old preachers, but I ain't met nobody this old. So they chose the Bible, to make a long story short, they had two men, Barsabas, in verse number 23, and Matthias, and they prayed, verse 24, and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lot, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11. And so they chose Matthias to be one of the 12 apostles. Now, some Bible scholars said this was a good thing because they needed to go on and get that 12th man on the team. Yeah, it's just like, you know, you're playing football. You can't play football with 10 men out there in the NFL game. Is that right about it? You got to have 11 men on the field. And so what they tried to do, they tried to go on. Jesus wanted 12, and so they tried to go on and get 12 men on the team. But my question is, did they have the Holy Ghost? See, some Bible scholars says that this was really a mistake. They got ahead of God because they didn't have the Holy Ghost right now. Even though they was some good men and godly men, but they didn't have the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people said that God picked his own man, the Apostle Paul, over in Acts chapter 9. So if they would have just waited a little while, but the Bible lets us know they kind of got impatient a little bit. They was in the upper room for 10 days. And so they tried to have business meeting. They tried to find another preacher. But how many know you can't pick no preacher without the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something. Could this be the problem that we got in church today? Could this be why our churches don't look like the biblical picture? It's because we are trying to have church and do stuff without the Holy Ghost. We're trying to ordain preachers without the Holy Ghost. We're trying to ordain deacons without the Holy Ghost. We're trying to choose trustees without the Holy Ghost. How many of you know you can't even choose a Sunday school teacher without the Holy Ghost? You can't even choose an usher without the Holy Ghost. You can't even choose a choir member without the Holy Ghost. You got to have the Holy Ghost. The church operates not by man, but the church operates by the Holy Ghost. So there's the need for the Holy Ghost. Not only in the church. Could this be why even church folks done got their houses so messed up? Our houses don't even look like the biblical picture. It's because we trying to make business decisions in our own house without the Holy Ghost. Getting awfully quiet now. As long as I was talking about church, everybody say, go on, please, pastor. But soon I start talking about the house. I'm talking about I messed up houses. Messed up from the floor up. Because we live in the Holy Ghost. And I'm just asking a question this morning. Could this be why we done messed up the house? Could this be why we even sending our children to the wrong schools and the wrong colleges? Because we ain't got no Holy Ghost there. Yeah, yeah. How many of you know you spend a lot of money when you ain't got no Holy Ghost? All right. Buying houses that we can't afford because we ain't got no Holy Ghost. Right. Buying cars that they got to repossess because we ain't got no Holy Ghost. Let me move on. Let me move on. I ain't even got to my text yet. We just outlining stuff, y'all. Amen. I'm talking about the need for the Holy Ghost. See, you can't even get married unless you got the Holy Ghost. You don't even know who to pick unless you got the Holy Ghost. You might as well just say, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, if you ain't got no Holy Ghost. There's a need. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying there's a need today. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Should I marry Rufus or should I marry Ray? Ray got a job. Rufus still looking for a job. That ought to tell you something right there. He don't need to be looking for no wife until he get a job. Oh, let me go on. I'm sorry. Let me come back out of your house and come back to the church. I'm sorry. Amen. I done went all down the neighborhood. All right. Let's just go on to chapter 2, because in chapter 2 you see the coming of the Holy Ghost. And you see the signs of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost, somebody say Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pentecost was one of the feasts of the Jews. It was 50 days after the feast of Passover. And so 50 days, remember Jesus had walked with them for 40 days, is that right? And now this is the 50th day, and they have in church up in this upper room. And notice what the Bible says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Notice where it came from. It came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like, somebody say like. Like as of fire, and it sat upon them. Now notice the two signs there. He heard something, and it sounded like a rushing mighty wind. It didn't say it was a wind that came through. It said it was like that. He's trying to describe it. That's what it sound like. Sound like a tornado done came up in him. In other words, what he's doing, he's trying to show you that when the Holy Ghost comes, he don't come quietly. He come with power. Oh, my goodness. You're going to shout in a minute if you hadn't shouted yet. The Bible says, and the same thing, it wasn't fire, but it was like fire. That's what it kind of looked like. Bible says, and they was filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation. Notice that's very important. Nations under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad that the multitude came together, they was confounded because every man heard. Somebody say heard. Heard them speak in his own language. Let me throw some foolishness off the wagon now. A lot of folks, they get this all mixed up here when they're talking about tongues. Notice now, when they were speaking in tongues, it was not no mumbo jumbo. It wasn't none of that. The Bible says everybody heard them speak in their own language. See, the folks that came there to the Passover, then they stayed around for Pentecost, and there was folks from everywhere, all the nations under heaven. And when these folks on the inside got the Holy Ghost, they took it to the outside, and they started preaching and teaching and telling them everything about God. And the thing was, they was hearing them in their own language. Now that's real clear. Is that in your Bible? The Bible says in verse number 7, and they was all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Wait a minute. These are like the Beverly Hillbillies. These ain't educated folks. They don't know all these different languages. These are Galileans. Amen. And notice, but the Bible says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue? For when they are speaking in our native tongues. Listen to that. Do you see that?
Yes.
It's right out of the Bible. Amen. So they were speaking in foreign languages. That's what tongues is. Tongues, and the gift of tongue is the ability. It's the God-given ability to speak a foreign language as the Spirit gives utterance. That's what that is. Now, if you don't measure up to that, that need to go off the wagon now. Amen, amen. But not everybody understands spiritual things. Notice a lot of folks start thinking that they must have done got drunk him. They start teasing them and they said, you know, they full of new wine. But Peter stood up and said, that ain't what's going on. He said, we drunk, but we ain't drunk on that kind of stuff. We drunk on the Holy Ghost. He said, this is what Joel was talking about, the prophet Joel, that your sons and your daughters gonna prophesy when the Holy Ghost comes. The young men's going to have some visions, and the old ones going to have some dreams. And he even says that he's going to pour out his spirit upon their handmaid and servants, even in those days. And whoever just call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so from verse number 14 to verse number 41, Peter preached a great sermon. He preached his first sermon. And when you look at 41, it tells us 3,000 souls got saved. Now, what can we learn about this story? Let me give you three things that happens when the Holy Ghost comes. Can I give you three things that happens when the Holy Ghost comes? When the Holy Ghost comes, he will change anybody. That's the first thing. When the Holy Ghost comes, the Holy Ghost will change anybody. Verse 14 says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Oh, when you look at Luke chapter 22, when you get home, you'll find that that was the story of Peter following Jesus on the night that he was arrested. When Jesus was arrested, Peter done something what he really wasn't supposed to do. Jesus had told him to go on about your business. But Peter, the Bible said, tried to follow Jesus afar. And then he found himself sitting down round the enemy fire.
Yeah.
But look at the contrast now. Peter ain't sitting down. Peter is standing up, Let me tell you something. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be sitting down around the enemy fire. When you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to be standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are you going to be standing up, you're going to lift your voice up and say something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when you look at Luke 22, they asked Peter, Peter, aren't you one of Jesus' disciples? He said, not me. They asked him again, Peter, aren't you one of his men? He said, I don't even know the man. They asked him again. He said, didn't I tell you? I don't know the man. As a matter of fact, one of the gospel writers said he cussed. When he started cursing, then they said, no, he ain't one of the men. We believe you, brother. Amen. When a person got to start cussing and stuff, you already, we know that you, the Lord is working on you. You ain't got it yet. Amen. 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 But notice now, Peter is not being quiet. Peter is speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen. Can I tell you something? One of the problems we got in church today, we got too many men that sitting down, being quiet, not doing nothing for the Lord. What needs to happen? They need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost. When you get a dose of the Holy Ghost, you can't help but speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't help but stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ when you get the Holy Ghost. I know I'm right about it. And the Holy Ghost will come in anybody's life. Oh, yes, he will. He'll change anybody. That's what the Bible talks about here in verse number 17. He says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the sons and daughters shall prophesy. The young men shall see visions, and the old men shall have some dreams. Look at that. What you see there is the Holy Spirit will come and change anybody's life. And let me correct some stuff right here now, because somebody done put some on the wagon that don't supposed to go on the wagon. A lot of times, ladies will get this verse right here at verse number 17, and they say, hey, the Bible says that when God pour out his spirit on all flesh, the sons and the daughters will prophesy. In other words, you're going to have men's preaching. You're going to have women preaching. But God is not saying that this is what he wants you to do in terms of going pastor the church. That's not what he's saying right here in the scripture. All he's saying here is the Holy Spirit will not discriminate when he comes. That's all he's saying. He's saying the Holy Spirit will hit your son. The Holy Spirit will hit your daughter. The Holy Spirit will hit your husband. The Holy Spirit will hit your wife. The Holy Spirit will hit the man at the top as well as the man at the bottom. The Holy Spirit don't discriminate. He's not dealing with church office. He's not dealing with calling here. All he's doing right now is just telling you who can get the Holy Ghost, and anybody and everybody can get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is for everybody that's in this room right now. It's just not for the preachers, in other words. It's just not for the Sunday school teachers. It's just not for the choir members. The Holy Ghost is for everybody that come through those doors. That's what he's saying. He's saying here, when the Holy Ghost comes, he'll change anybody. And when you get the Holy Ghost, let me just tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be able to be quiet. It's going to be a pep in your step. You're not going to be able to be still when you get the Holy Ghost. You're going to want to do something for the Lord. You're going to have what I call the I can't help it fever. I can't help it. I know what I'm talking about. Jeremiah had the I can't help it. Jeremiah tried to take an early retirement on God. He said, I ain't preaching no more. The folks that want to hear it were fine, then I ain't preaching no more. He was going to take an early retirement, and he was just going to sit down and do nothing for the Lord. Jeremiah tried it for a while. But the next thing we know, Jeremiah's down there at the temple preaching again. Done got out of jail because they had arrested him. Now Jeremiah's back out there preaching again. Jeremiah, why are you preaching again? He said, I tried to sit down, but I couldn't sit down because it was like fire shut up in my bones. I had to say something. That same thing. Go ask Ezekiel. Ezekiel tell you. God told him to go down and preach to a valley of dry bones. And he went down there and he was preaching to them bones. And the Bible says that them bones started coming together, bone by bone. But the Bible also said there was a rattling noise. Let me tell you something. When the word of God is really preached, it's going to move you. It's something about this word. You can't sit up under the word of God and it not move you. It's going to either move you closer to the Lord or it's going to move you away from the Lord, but it's going to move you. And the Bible says that them bodies came together, but there was no life in them. He didn't hear no noise at all. And God said, I ain't through yet, Ezekiel. Go prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind to come on. That's a picture of prayer. Praying that the Holy Ghost come and fill these dead bodies with the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that they began to stand up. Oh, see, when the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to know it. Folks going to stand up. But I even believe before they stood up, Ezekiel heard them. He had a groan down there. He heard some inhaling. He heard some outhaling going on down there. He heard some groan. What I'm trying to say to you this morning, when you get the Holy Ghost, there ought to be a groan in you. We ought to hear some. Every now and then, that ought to be in you. Somebody ought to know that you are alive. That ought to be a in you. I know a lot of times when I first started hearing the word of God preach, that word was hitting me so I couldn't say nothing but that's something to think about. It moves you. When the Holy Ghost come, it changes anybody. Number two, when the Holy Ghost come, it'll change any church. Not only will it change anybody, it'll change any church. When you look at this church, this seemed to be really an insignificant church. Because in this little church, they didn't have the rich and famous in that church. Did you notice that? These guys was ex-fishermen. They was ex-fishermen and farmers. These guys, some of them was tax collectors and what have you. They were just insignificant people. Some of them was homemakers and cooks and what have you. Just insignificant people. As a matter of fact, if you were to ask somebody, where you go to church? And they would have told you, I go to the church of the upper room. They would have said, where that's at? Ain't nobody ever heard of the church of the upper room. Who y'all pastor? Well, we got 12 of them. We just got us a new pastor. And so we got Peter, James, and John. And they got money.
Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.